Welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, March 5th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, the Terra Luna News, Ryan Lyons on Prism, X-Prism, AMP, farming events, all that stuff. Hosted by Terabytes. Let's take a listen.
Hey, hey. Welcome, everyone. We get our co-host Joseph invited up here. Joseph, how you doing, man?
Doing great. I'm actually trying to untangle my earbuds from a knot. So,
doing great.
Yeah, just a little bit ago, a wind took a power line down and knocked out the internet. I guess there's other problems. So I had no internet, I was panicking and trying to get in touch with you, and I had no way to do it. But we just came back online now. So, all right. You untangled. Tell us about what's been going on. Tell us about how you've been doing. You're joining up in a week now? Full time.
Yeah. Friday will be my last day at my legacy full time gig. So I'm really excited to thank you for the opportunity, first and foremost. But I couldn't be more excited to finally venture into Web3 full time. I love this stuff, and it's just really just you guys are giving me the opportunity to level up in my content and to level up in my understanding and just kind of get more experience under my belt. So very appreciative.
Yeah, yeah. And we're excited to have you. It's definitely not charity. You know, I mean, you started making a name for yourself really quickly. I have to remind myself sometimes that you're rather new, and it only comes out every once in a while when you say stuff like, hey, a new thing's on the scene, Nebula Protocol. And I'm like, wait a minute, we've been talking about Nebula for a year. But it just goes to show you how you came in and just splashed down and got so involved that you talk like someone who's been here for a year or two, you know? So it's great to have you on. Can't wait to see you, what you're going to do with spaces and content and coding and who knows what here at Terabytes. Anyway, this week has been insane. I've spent most of the week trying to help some friends in Ukraine, and that didn't really work out. They just kind of ended up back home because the border guards have gotten crazy, and it's crazy over there. And we've seen unprecedented sanctions against Russia. And I mean, I've lived in both countries, and I have friends in both countries, so I have friends on both sides of the war. Which is a bit, you know, concerning sometimes, but we've seen these unprecedented financial sanctions against Russia that really, like, we don't know what kind of ripple effects they'll have through the whole global financial system. I mean, when you turn off a country like that, you turn off SWIFT access, you shut down a bunch of services, a lot of companies stop doing business there. Like, just a simple example that you wouldn't think of. a clothing brand that owns, I forget the name of the umbrella clothing brand, but it owns Zara, which is a, you know, an international popular clothing brand, especially over in Europe and Asia, but also here in the United States. And they 8%, 9% of their revenue comes from Russia, but they still shut down all the, you know, they shut down all stores in Russia. And so there's companies that are going to take hits from this. There's, you know, it's not one way where Russia's going to suffer and no one else is. There's definitely going to be some global effects. We don't know what those global effects are. So that's kind of the backdrop here to this whole week. But no one has really predicted, I think, a solid set of like what the global effects will be. We don't know, but it'll be a topic of discussion going forward. But in the midst of all this, with Bitcoin dumping the past couple of days and other cryptos, including Ethereum, struggling to hold their heads above water, Luna and in particular Ankh have really been on a run. I mean, when the Deviant sale started, and that's just like 2 weeks ago, maybe Anchor was a dollar something. And, you know, I know because the Ankh UST pool was the main pool there. And if you just went into that, you're sitting pretty now. Or if you just were holding Ankh or getting airdrops, Anchor is hitting $6, which is crazy. So I want to talk, Joseph, if you're willing, about the first set of things being the Anchor proposals, because there's a lot of Anchor proposals. There's the Risk Harbor's proposal. And now there are proposals, maybe joking, but proposals from community members to stop all other proposals until we can get the B assets done. You know, like okay, guys, enough proposals. So you pick which first topic you'd like out of your weekly roundup to hit here, Joseph.
Yeah, first and foremost, I do want to cover a little bit of a safety hazard on Anchor right now. There is a known fake mirror that is paying for ads on Google. So if you are trying to get anyone into Anchor, or you're trying to get anyone who's new to the crypto space, needs to be aware that if you type in Anchor protocol into Google, there is literally a fake mirror of Anchor on Google searches right now, and they have it as an ad. So pretty suspicious there. Just be aware. Bookmark the official Anchor website once you confirm that it is the official one, so that this doesn't happen to you. But yeah, so let's move on into the newest proposal. And the newest proposal that has come out is for redirecting, or not really redirecting, I guess. It's implementing a market fluctuating earn rate. And it would be semi-dynamic in the sense that it would monitor the deposit side of borrowers, and or just the yield reserve in general. And it would basically, if there is an excessive strain on that yield reserve, the earn rate will be taken down, and that could go in vice versa. So we could be seeing a pretty significant adjustment for the earn rate, and we might be seeing adjustments that can go up to a negative 1.5% or maybe even 2%. It really kind of depends on the extremities of the yield reserve experience. So that's kind of like the biggest proposal that is up for topic, not to mention that we're already discussing the remodeling of VAnk. So there's a lot of adjustments that are just going on in Anchor that are just of paramount importance to the entire community to start considering and to kind of just read up on, just so you can be informed from all these multiple layers of how much effect could really happen to the entirety of Anchor protocol. I believe we have lost Pete.
I'm gonna head to a new spot. So fill the air with talk of ozone.
Okay, so talk of ozone. Ozone has been kind of the topic of discussion for a long time, and there has always been a discussion for safety, and specifically the ozone V2 model that Doquan has kind of been proposing for probably about a year now. And that has been the major discussion for a long time, is that there needs to be a new form of protection, and there needs to be a decentralized form of protection and a decentralized access to insurance. And that doesn't presently exist in the sense that it would be ready to onboard the next million, next billion users. And so for the longest time, this has been a very livid topic of discussion. And this week, Risk Harbor has announced they're taking over, or at least they have released their proposal of taking over the Oracle of the Ozone model. And essentially, they will be guiding their vision for decentralized insurance and decentralized protection in the space. We're probably going to be seeing a lot more details being released soon, but it seems like overwhelmingly the reception of this proposal from Risk Harbor is pretty well received. It's going to be covering about $1 billion from the community pool. And this is going to make broader impacts, and it's going to roll out and make effects on Anchor. It's going to start subsidizing a lot of different pieces of protection throughout the community, and that are all in line with long-term use cases and long-term longevity growth for the entire ecosystem. I'm reading through a little bit of the developments, but it seems like they're targeting a lot of integrations throughout the community. They're going to start integrating pieces with Mirror, Orion, Cash, Alice. Very interesting to see Alice being included in this after their long period of silence. But overall, this is going to be a massive adjustment to the entirety of the community and huge, huge focus on safety this week, and specifically targeting Anchor and all the different puzzle pieces that are moving on there. Pete, are you alive?
Yeah.
Because I am out of things to say.
I believe I'm alive. This morning when the internet dropped, I could have sworn it was a Russian cyber attack, because all towers, I couldn't get to them, and Wi-Fi was down. I was. But anyway, it's Alice Silence. Have you gotten into Alice yet, Joseph?
No, I have. You have yet to send me a referral. Please send me a referral.
The app doesn't let me send invites yet. Supposedly I have invites, but I can't get to them. So I'll wait for that update to get pushed.
I've been on the sideline of like waiting for the ability on and off ramp with the Alice name. I'm just super salty with not being on sooner up on the wait list. So that could be part of why I'm flaming Alice for taking so long to release this stuff.
Well, I'll help allay your upsetness by telling you about it, and that way you can feel like you're experiencing it. It's really smooth. It's really simple. There's send, receive, there's on-ramp, off-ramp, there's debit card waitlist, and you can just, once you get money received, you're automatically earning interest. It shows you right there your estimated interest and your interest percent. So I think that it's going to be great to interact with friends, send them money, and by the time they check the money, if it's enough money, there will already be a little bit more money. That's going to be a huge marketing push, huge promotion for Anchor and all the apps running on Anchor. I can't wait for Alice. Has just opened another 1,000 invites. I don't know if you're on the waiting list or you're just hoping to get an invite. As soon as I can get an invite, I'll send you one. But yeah, I haven't been able to do that yet. So it seems like the yields, as Anchor has gotten a lot more attention, I mean, it's gone from $1.50 to $6. As Luna's got a lot more attention, it seems like the concerns about the yield reserve have gone up from people that I haven't heard of before, right? Just people tweeting death threats about this being a house of cards, and the $450 million is just like a capital injection that is intentionally front-loading the interest, making the interest rate higher for a bunch of time until later when everyone uses it, then the interest rate can come back down and everyone will already use it, right? Or people will move to other places. And now, it was my understanding that was never the idea, and that they're implementing the V2 things, and they intend to be a reference rate. Like, it wouldn't be a very good reference rate, which is the whole initial premise of Anchor Protocol, if it was a propped up rate that we have no expectation of being able to keep, right? So what are your feelings around this as far as like the destination of the yield reserve and the reference rate? Is this proposal, like this flexible earn rate proposal, is that more of a better reference rate? I mean, the idea was a stable reference rate, right? Or at least a relatively stable reference rate. Where do you see this ending up?
I mean, I do see eventually a model to where you are that the community will just no longer be worried about the yield reserve. I think that at some point the Band-Aid will get ripped off and we will be at that flat rate without a yield reserve. And I think I've seen people say that it could be anywhere from like 8% to 12%. But I mean, personally, I'm not going to be like legitimately upset about it, because at the end of the day, that is magnitudes better than any kind of bank that you could use. I believe my bank offers 0.05% interest or something obscene like that. I do think that even with the new models that are going to be implemented with the lengthening or the semi-dynamic model, I do believe that even with that, it's going to make it longer. We can enjoy higher percentages, but eventually the Band-Aid will get ripped off, but we'll still be 10 times better than any normal bank.
Is what he said was expected if the yield reserve fell apart. And I've seen numbers all over the place, of course. But other stablecoins are offering, or centralized services rather, are offering like as high as 12%. Just a friend of mine in Portugal yesterday, and he was telling me how he got 12% on his USDC at a pretty stable rate. Do you see Anchor having any trouble if that rate does drop down to what some of the naysayers are saying, like 9 to 11%? And there's a 12% stablecoin option somewhere else.
I do believe that it would impact the amount of people that are probably. I think Pete is having some issues right now with the internet. I do believe that at some point there will be a migration of people that aren't depending on the Anchor yield as much. But I think at the end of the day, even if you can offer the alternative rate, like if USDC does offer 12% and Anchor can only preserve maybe a 13 or 12%, at the end of the day, you still have the other components of the entire ecosystem built around UST. And you also have the decentralized component to UST. USDC can be frozen at any moment, and that will not be taken away from just in any scenario where Earn goes down. You will still have the superior form of decentralized, or just the superior form of a stable pegged currency. And I just think that at the moment, the current percentages are kind of being used as an onboarding to a decentralized form of money. And I think a natural, rational market perspective will start picking the decentralized option amongst all the sea of stable coins out there.
Right. And remember that not only the FUD, not only the predictions of the yield reserve running out in months and then us house of cards collapsing or people leaving, but also your comments just now, those are all based on the idea that all of the Anchor improvements which are planned or proposed do nothing to improve, to stabilize Anchor or to increase the borrow rate or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all in a micro bubble to where we assume, I mean, we're not going to go to zero. I mean, that's just, not financial advice, obviously. I'm not an expert, but we're just not going to go to 0% APY on Anchor Earn. Obviously, at that point, every user is going to choose to leave it and go to another form of stable yield. But if USDC is offering you 12% and UST is offering you 12%, I think I'm going to rationally pick the environment where I can easily split proof of stake assets. I can easily go farm into Osmosis and different chains. And then I could also pick the place that has D apps built where I can pay people like Venmo easeability. And there's just the entirety of the ecosystem just is adding enough value to UST in and of itself. That I think that even if we do come down to the equal percentage rates that USDC offers, we're not going to be in any trouble.
Yeah, but still also pointing out that the idea of predicting something in 6 months in crypto based on everything staying the same is a fool's errand anyway. nothing stays the same, especially with these teams, these assets at breakneck speed, developing networks, developing connections, developing protocols. Nothing moves slowly in crypto. Nothing stays still. And all these predictions are based on things staying still. So I think that I would look, if you're concerned about the Anchor rate, I would look at all the improvements coming, like more assets and bar incentives and VANC and all these things, and think to yourself, like, what the effects might be. If we're fighting for a couple of percentage points, then any one of those things or a combo of those things may be the thing to do it. But let's move on a little bit. If you want to hear more about VAnk, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago in a space. And we'll have a show on VAnk soon, Vote Escrow Ank, kind of like the idea of time-weighted staking, where you have more governance votes if you lock Ank up for a longer amount of time, similar to things on Curve and some other proof-of-stake networks back in the day. Let's actually return to Ukraine really quickly, though, while we have more people here now. Angel Protocol is doing a Ukraine push. Now, it was a little bit unclear to me where that was actually going when I first saw it. Like, what entity is receiving the money? How is that getting to people on the ground? Joseph, do you have any clarity on where that's going?
It's two relief funds. I don't know them by name, but it's two specific relief funds that are currently on the ground right now, helping Ukrainian citizens across the border, helping give Ukrainian citizens housing in other countries. 50% of your money will be going to those aid units immediately, and 50% of it will go to a perpetual endowment that would get deposited into Anchor, yielding the fancy 19%. So that's where your money is going. And yes, it's just two entities that are right now helping the humanitarian crisis that we're seeing in Ukraine.
Right. And the 50% split makes sense because, in case you haven't seen, aid that is needed like now, not an endowment over years. At least we can hope, right? So I appreciate that a lot of that is going directly immediately to these relief funds. So we'll talk about Ukraine and Russia again more later. But I do want to mention some new games too. You didn't have these in your weekly roundup, Joseph, but there are some games on Terra. I've actually talked with a new launch pad that I can't really reveal yet. That is coming out with something new on Monday that's going to be really exciting for people to use. Not a new project, like a new utility, but there's also talk of launching new games that you'd recognize. What's that game that Dragons SB, you might have seen it, like 3D dragons flying all over the place. And it looks pretty good, and you're battling dragons, and there's not really too much more info. I think the team is out of Thailand, but it's Dragons SB. And there's literally 3D dragon battles in the air. If your Levana dragons could take to the sky in a full Unity world, jungles and caverns and canyons and everything, and blast fire at each other and team up and have big battles, that's what this game looks like. I don't know any more details about it, though, than the flashy 3D demos on their webpage. But I do know that they are launching some kind of like NFT blockchain component, core component to their game. We should hear more about that soon. But another similar kind of take is Star Heroes, another similar game. I don't know if you've seen this, but Star Terra team tweeted that now that private vesting is done, we bought a game, and here it is. And some flashy like spaceship models and space battle demos going on with Star Heroes. Did you catch that?
No, to be honest, I'm like very underexposed to the game scene right now. I know that your Deviance is starting to heat up, but I'm super excited to hear about the dragons that are going around.
Yeah. So there's already dragons with Levana, right? And I think that a lot of people here will know about the Levana dragons and be excited to have the Levana dragons. But Levana is basically doing some really cool things with NFT and with NFTs and their DeFi-tainment theses. You might have seen an article out recently, in fact, this past week, from Jonathan Karas over at his Twitter is MadCapsLaugh over at Levana, and talking about how all these DeFi protocols, the blue chip DeFis, have just been draining. If you've been to Ethereum DeFi, you got something like DePi, the DeFi Pulse Index, which is like an index of all the top blue chip protocols that really pumped in DeFi summer. Things like Aave and Cream and Uniswap and Badger and all these Ethereum protocols. It's just been bleeding. I mean, there might be one or two outliers in there, but overall, I remember in November, it was, or October, I mean, don't quote me on this, it was over $600 sometime in the fall, and now it's like 100 something. And these blue chip DeFis have just been bleeding because of their issuance and their liquidity incentives and so forth, so on and so forth, prompting people to sell, right? You're making money, you're farming, and you're selling it all. So Jonathan's, somebody has requested, I'm going to go ahead and add them as a speaker, but give me a second to finish this little bit. And so all these blue chip DeFis have been bleeding, and Jonathan's thesis is, well, we need to engage the community more. He proposes a DeFi-tainment, like you'd think of like DeFi gaming mechanism, which is one of the things Lavana is going for, as it builds out dragons and stories and playing, and like you can get more medallions and join factions and create new experiences and join stories and join other people in community endeavors and so on. DeFi-tainment as being a much more sustainable model than what we've seen some of the blue chip Ethereum DeFis over the last year and a half do. Anyway, so Lavana has dragons, yes, but the dragons, I mean, you can trade them and you can join little games, and it's definitely fun. And the narrative is great. If you haven't taken the time, go ahead and go over and check out their adventures and that little 2D platformer game they have. I forget what it's called. Salim's Adventure or something like that. And they have a choose your own adventure where you can go through and try not to die, and all sorts of cool games that they come out with all the time. While they work on getting their core leverage any asset protocol up. Now that Mars is launching, they can, once Mars launches, they can finally move forward on getting some of that leverage any asset functionality together. But there's another dragon game that most of you probably haven't seen, and it's called Dragons SB. And it's not, I don't think it's like Lavana in that it doesn't plan to be like a DeFi game. Now that doesn't mean it won't use DeFi. There are games that are like DeFi kingdoms, and they just are like wrappers around DeFi, right? You have farming activities and LPing activities and, you know, interest and all sorts of things. And you interact with these things in a game way, right? That's kind of DeFi-tainment. But there's also games that really don't do that. They just use a certain aspect of DeFi in order to make their game more attractive, more profitable, whatever, for players. For example, Deviance is a card game. You could go play it now at deviancefactions.com, but you could play the alpha, right? It doesn't actually earn you any tokens yet, as the cards are still being balanced. But it's a card game, but it's not like a shield or a face or a pretty... It's not a pretty interface for DeFi farming, right? It's not an AMM that is kind of wrapped in pixel art like DeFi Kingdoms. It is, it's using anchor pools and some other DeFi mechanisms in order to provide rewards for players. So if you win or you do well or you farm with auto farming, then you can farm some tokens or win some UST. So that's kind of what I think Dragons SB is going to be. It's going to be an NFT game. There might be some DeFi components, but it's not like a wrapper for AMMs, like several early games that we got. Derby Stars is also pounding away. They had their pre-sale. They had their public sale, maybe. I'm mixing up timelines.
They did
in February, on the 15th, right? And horses are still coming. And I know it's been a little while, and it's still going to be a little while. But if you've seen the video. Full disclosure, we Terabytes invested in as a partner. And we also went out and bought a bunch of horses with our own money. You can
and you beat out Doquan. You guys beat out Doquan. Doquan was salty this week.
Do had us a stable of horses, but he wasn't in the pre-sale. You know, that's funny. But hey, Doquan beat me out in Deviance. Doe was an earlier investor in Deviance before I caught.
So you got revenge.
I don't invest at all.
You got revenge. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we got revenge. Yeah. I work with the Deviance team, but I don't invest. But on Derby Stars, I don't work with the team except as a partner, a media partner. But we did take a small position because we love the idea that these really high quality games are going to be coming to Terra and using Terra DeFi, right? It's just like Anchor Protocol. I know we still haven't tired of it. Back in the May hackathon, almost a year ago, literally every project was a wrapper around Anchor Protocol or using Anchor Protocol for some things. At that time, the team was kind of disappointed that there weren't smart contracts written. Like, nobody wrote a smart contract for these hackathons, but it was just kind of wrappers around Anchor. But we haven't gotten tired of that, and we're still not getting tired of UX wrappers like Alice, of you know, reward gamers wrappers like Deviants, of charity wrappers like Angel. I'm saying wrappers. I mean, they use Anchor Protocol as their fundamental economic technology in order to enable what they're doing, right? And that's what a lot of games are going to continue doing. I think a lot of projects are going to continue doing that, using Anchor and just building up the TVL. Anchor, you know, we may dismiss Anchor FUD all the time. We do, of course, because there's so many changes, and now Yield Reserve has given us a runway. So we dismiss FUDsters who say it's an automatic house of cards, and I know it's going to collapse and pull your money out now, because they don't look at the long runway and all of the changes that are in process. And they also don't look at the worst case scenario, which actually isn't that bad. That said, Anchor questions are really important. I think that we do need to talk about yield reserve and sustainability and numbers and security and insurance and all things like that. And we do need to continue pushing. Like, we kind of pushed Doe on insurance as a community, and he came out with Ozone, which is now taken over by Risk Harbor, right? So that was unless he was just pretending not to care about insurance for a long time, which is possible, that was a direct response to the obvious community desire for insurance. And Anchor interface also adding get insurance, the button right in the interface that lets you get Nexus or Unslashed or another one that slipped my mind right now. You can get insurance right in the platform. That is part of the team's reaction to the community wanting insurance. So, and the LFG yield reserve pump as well. So the community can feel free as long as you keep like a circumspect, like, hey, I know these things are in progress and there's this much runway, and we can still bring up the risks that we perceive and the challenges we perceive. And we should, because Anchor is half or more of the TVL and the Terra ecosystem. And it is the fundamental technology for such big projects in the ecosystem as, maybe self-naming big projects here, but these are ones where the fundamental technology is Anchor. Things like Alice, things like, the other Anchor enablers around the world for users like Cash and Tick and, well, formerly Saturn. I don't know what they're really doing right now. Outlet and things like that. And Orion's functionality. Huge names, but also like Angel Protocol, big charity name, Deviants and Gaming, and maybe other games as well, absolutely fundamentally rely on Anchor. So it's all right to make noise when you see a potential problem. I would just recommend, in order to not get dismissed, that you also kind of allow, like, hey, I know there's progress being made. So anyway, rant over. It's just there's a lot of Anchor talk, a lot of Anchor FUD, a lot of Anchor proposals, a lot of Anchor improvements, a lot of Anchor. And the reason is that is much of the value, most of the value in the Terra ecosystem. It's one of our killer DeFi primitives, and it is the thing behind so many companies and so many apps and so many teams that are building. Anyway, wow, what a monologue. Back over to you, Joseph. Donku is just like laugh facing over there.
It was the best rampage I've ever heard. It was the most educational piece I could have heard, because we covered GamingFi all the way to the paramount importance of integration with the wrappers of Anchor. It's you have painted a picture of how all of these pieces are connecting. So that was a very useful monologue, even though Donku's probably just laughing at you.
Donku happens to be in, like, in streams whenever I go on like a little soapbox like that, and he always comments something like classic Pete, you know, because it is big picture stuff, and I hope it's helpful for newer people here. People talk about Anchor. What is Anchor? Oh, it's 19%. Okay, let me go look at something else. Well, yeah, you might not understand that Anchor is also fundamental to half of the, I'd say half, maybe more, maybe less, of the projects on Terra Luna right now.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I also do think that it may have been almost inevitable for just
for games to become a thing in crypto. I was actually talking to a close friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about how the vast majority of crypto people have experience in a lot of games. And this is something I've been seeing on Twitter a lot, is that a lot of the OG RuneScape players are now heavy into NFT economies and a lot of other kinds of DeFi economies that have cropped up. And a lot of people used to play StarCraft, a lot of Game 3 that it just exists in all of the economies within DeFi. So I just do think that it was inevitable to see this unison between the two, because I mean, let's face it, people were buying RuneScape accounts. I mean, they still are to this day. They're buying RuneScape accounts for over $5,000. And those kinds of intricate economies are all playing in hand in hand with the instruments of DeFi. And it's kind of creating a never before seen environment. Just really excited. And I'm glad that you went on that monologue, because I think it really kind of just represents how interwoven all of these pieces are.
Yeah. Speaking of, there are some like specific new Anchor related items that I guess we've regretted to mention so far. Transact, right? I mean, we've been talking about on-ramps. You've been jealous about Alice. Kato is another great on-ramp right now. Transact has done some kind of integration of Terra and Anchor for users in India.
Yes.
You know more about this than I do.
Specifically in India, they have enabled, I don't know how that partnership works, because they do have the Visa and MasterCard logos on the announcement, but it seems to be only enabled for users in India. So it will be a great way for anyone to onboard into the Terra ecosystem. You can now use Transact to onboard fiat from you can do it just from the comfort of your debit card, and you can get it straight into Terra Station or get it straight into Anchor. So more on-ramps going live, and they did say in their thread this week that they are targeting the USA and multiple other locations very soon in the near future. So excited to see that kind of that integration happening.
All right. And there's something about, I mean, gambling coins, sorry, gambling teams. Gambling coins and gambling products have always, like, I don't mind gambling, whatever, but like, I came from blockchain ecosystems 4 years ago, 3 years ago, where there were just gambling apps, like literally dice rolling was all you could do. And some of them are scams, and some of them had tokens that fell apart and so on. So I like you, maybe aren't aware of what's going on in games. And, you know, you will be more aware as you get more exposure to those things. I am absolutely unaware of what's going on in gambling in the Terra space. Now, that might have shown by the fact that we haven't mentioned LaTerra very often. I really respect the LaTerra team. And they're, I mean, I've used some of their code, open source code for some things. They've done a couple other things as well. And, I mean, I'm not, if they've like rug pulled since, I don't, you know, don't take this as, well, Pete says he respects the LaTerra team. I mean, I don't think they have, but I haven't been, my point is I haven't been keeping up to date on what gambling is in Terra and LaTerra. And, you posted a, what was it? 777's Casino.
Yes.
Adding ANK. What is that about? Does that just mean that the ANK token is now on 777's Casino, or is there some other reason to be excited about that?
To be honest, I believe that it is just flat out they are integrating Anchor, the token. I've honestly stayed away from casino type stuff as well. I'm still trying to figure out how that can play in hand with my investment portfolio. But regardless, they are integrating Anchor token. But I do believe the biggest alpha drop in their post was that they are going to be working on future integrations. So we could probably see some new features being rolled out using the Anchor 20%, maybe the Anchor Borrow. Who knows what they're going to be, what they've got rolled up in their sleeves. So,
Before we move on, yeah, I didn't mean to throw any shade on any gambling team. I mean, there's reasons gambling teams stay anonymous because of jurisdictional problems. And I know that Pantera Zero X here, who might not be able to talk, but he is a co-host here in the space. I've seen him in Vegas and seen him with some bet dice things. So I know that he might be a little bit more up in the gambling space than I am. Evan, if you ever want to hop in here and tell us a little bit more, that would be great. But
first, I think we have a speaker trying to speak.
We have a couple of speakers here that I'm going to go ahead and take the questions since we've monologued over them like a train. Toquir, What's up? Welcome to the stage.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. No, like it's really insightful in terms of like the knowledge that you guys always share, and it's always exciting to be on the space. So I would specifically talk about, I wanted a few things that I want to talk about on games and ask a few questions and something related to Starterra platform. So I recognize we are into the content marketing and esports space in Dubai, and we've been doing this since a while on Web2 based games. And I think one of the biggest problems that come, I mean, knowing that how especially games are being built and how Luna becomes so friendly in terms of scalability on building games and supportive. So there are a lot of play to on fantastic projects, but one of the biggest issues that we recognized since shifting from Web2 into Web3 is that the way of adaption, like the methods used for spreading the adaption and getting those DAU acquisitions is completely different. And that's why we see a lot of particular projects which are kind of slowing down and dying down on that. Now, usually, I think one of the biggest aspects that's missing on the gaming, particular gaming protocols, is the adaptability and the development of the esports on that side, whether on a smaller scale or on a bigger scale. So there are n number of projects that have come up which are based on Web2, and they have wiped out around millions and millions of dollars from the regions like Southeast Asia, MENA, Turkey, which are the hotspots of esports. So yeah, I think the marketing platforms, in particular ways of acquiring the DAUs, is going to be the key factor. It's going to play the massive role in P2E or P2W adoption. Now, anyway, second thing was with regards to the Starterra. I think Starterra, it's a fantastic particular product where you can actually get the opportunity where we always are excited about which are the new projects coming on Luna, and a lot of those particular projects come on to Starterra, where you get to participate in the IDOs, ICOs, even being outside the inner circle. So, but the problem is that I think I was recently having a conversation with Sam. I think he was in this chat room as well, Sam Sapiol. So, where the how you actually, I mean, like, you guys know that how we actually get to participate, you have to get the STD, USD, you have to stake the LP token, and then you have to increase your STE based on your single stake as well as your staking this thing, which they changed recently. But the price, like, let's say I started investing through STT when it was at $6 or $6.50 per STT. But it drastically died down to $1 right now, or even some cents. Now, irrespective of the fact where you get the rewards of participating in the IDOs, ICOs, which is always not that big, because you actually have to be there for the fraction of the initial seconds to get into any faction to get a guaranteed allocation. Still, it does not cover cover certain of the losses that people have suffered. So I think if STT can have a more utility than just actually using it for the IDO ICOs, which I think they're doing right now on the game. And if you guys have any information about that.
Yeah, I'll answer. There's a couple of questions in there. They definitely intend, for those who are coming new, Starterra, after their private investing was done, which was maybe one of the reasons the price was moving down, is because a lot of tokens were unlocking, but also that they had high issuance, high APRs, which tends to have downward price pressure. But they came in after the vesting was done and bought a game, apparently, called Star Heroes. You can check it out. It's been around for a while, or been building for a while. And I guess the original intent was that you'd earn Star. And now the intent is something related to STT. Now, will that result in further downward pressure because STT is being awarded to game players? I don't know. Maybe it'll be the opposite. But they're trying to look for some more utility for their STT token and for their ecosystem by adding a game. And this just came out. I don't have any more details than that. But you speak to a broader problem in DeFi games in general. And that is that DeFi games often reward their players in a token. And the token price pumps because people are excited about the game, but then there's a lot of people that are holding tokens and are getting tokens and are selling it at the new price, and it just sells down like a Mount Everest slide, kind of like we've seen with the DeFi summer blue chip protocols, where things like just went downhill, like are 300% down. That doesn't make any sense. Are 75% down from the top in like October, November, or something like that. You know, some of them, and we see this with games that reward players exclusively in the token. There's, in order to attract players, you have to give them a lot of tokens to make it worth their while. But by giving them a lot of tokens, they sell the you're selling a lot of tokens, and the price is getting depressed. Okay, so it's a pump and done kind of model. there are several ways out of this. One, of course, is just to have a game that's so fun that people will play it anyway. Remember, traditional games, people played them and paid money to play them. So it's not true that you always have to pay people money in order to get them to play your game, right? So people actually paid money to play games. So if you have really high quality games, then you can reduce the emission, still attract users because the game is fun and they could still make money. Another option, like one that a couple of games are taking, is to pay out not in your token, but in something like UST. Maybe you have a pool that produces like yield, and you pay with yield. And then there are further options too, but the core problem is that people wanted to pump their token to get adoption. They wanted to also distribute a lot of their token to people to get adoption of the game, whatever game you're thinking of, play to earn game. And that resulted in the token dumping, which then meant the users left because they had only come there to make money in the first place. Not because the game was fun, not because they could make some kind of sustained yield, but because they could take advantage of the current pump and basically loot the system for a little bit more value and then run away to the next greatest thing. Now, we've seen this in non-games too. Like I said, DeFi Summer, ICOs, things like that for a long time. So the answer is that a game has to be fun, a quality game that people enjoy playing for its own sake. It has to reward in a token other than its own token or in reasonable amounts.
Sorry,
guys, I have a quick note to that because I'm actually involved in the project of Star Heroes.
Sure.
And just quick one. So the aim of Star Heroes is to really make the game play to earn game fun, because actually what the brilliant team at Starterra did is just bought a really solid engine for a game, and really they want to break this trend that play to earn games are not fun. Actually, this is opposite. It's really, I had this chance to really play this, also this game when it was in development, and it's really fun to play. And actually, guys are really hired the best game developers, and right now are putting that whole thing on chain. So this is first note. And the second note is that actually, I can't confirm because I think I'm not allowed, but just I will cite Pan Paragraph, which last week he said that STT token will be important to really in this game ecosystem. And the game, it's not gonna give out STT as a rewards. And third thing, which is very important for all you degens and actually Terra ecosystem participants, is that it's going to give a lot of ways to really earn on the whole ecosystem, including great NFTs, which we are preparing. So I think that's a few things which should be noted here. So I can't I can't really wait until this moment when this is gonna go live. And actually this week Pan Paragraph will make official announcement on the expo which is taking in Poland regarding the on-chain game. So I'm looking forward to that.
Michael, you mean that you will be rewarding eventually, let's say, like every single other player to earn game? What they are doing is you have an in-game token which is converted into STT. Is that so?
So I can't confirm the tokenomics, but I can assure you that this is not going to create additional pressure on STT token, right? Quite opposite to that.
Will there be any kind of, I mean, first off, if you go look at the Star Hero stuff, the limited graphics we have look really great. And I love flying spaceships. So if the spaceship flying and whether that's combat or whatever is fun, like I still play No Man's Sky, which has gotten way better. If you were disappointed by the initial launch, it's gotten much better. But like EVE Online and the Galaxy on Fire and these like fly a spaceship around and shoot things games, I love them. So I would definitely be down for something like that. If it were, you know, if that's what the game is like, just because it was fun. And that's what I was saying is one of the things that blockchain games need to figure out is that it needs to be like long-term, like sustainable fun, not, oh, this is cool. And then the next day you're like, yeah, it's the same. And the next day, you're like, I get it. I got to go to my seed box, you know, but which is DeFi Kingdoms was a great step. But like sustainable fun, where you can play for a long time and it doesn't get old, that will be the way to real play to earn games, because then the income for players isn't the reason they're there necessarily. Supplementary. So maybe people that are doing the best can like make a living off it or something, but like you can't have a game where everyone who's playing it is making a living off of it. That'd be UBI. It's not possible economically. But you know, most of the players would be playing because they have fun, and it would just be nice that they're getting a little bit of money on the side. So it sounds like that's the Star Heroes path. Will Pan be saying anything about like timeline? Well, like when do you think this game will look to have an alpha or something like that?
Well, I think it would be the best to really invite Wojtek to your show or to the Twitter spaces so he can do AMA or anything like this, because I really don't want to, you know, put myself in his shoes. I think he's the one person who can give you the alpha. What I can say, this game is, I think, breaking the old thing that, you know, play to earn games are not fun. Actually, this is quite opposite. So this is what I can tell you at this moment. But hey, listen, guys, you should really ask Wojtek. I think he will be more than happy to answer all your questions, and you know he's a great storyteller, so he will explain it, I think, the best way.
All right, thank you. Toker, you had a question though.
Yes,
in the middle.
Yes, I think like Sam was also here, but I agree to a part that where Michael is saying that of course play to earn games are fun. Definitely are. I think they are more than Web2 based games. We have been more than 8 years now actively been a massive part of Web2 based game, where we have exclusive contracts with Tencent, Quantum, Krafton. We have more than 1.5 billion viewers every month on gaming. But when we actually look at the particular a segment of play to earn, I don't think that if until and unless you don't have a proper economy inside the game, where I firmly believe that which includes from your NFTs and everything, and then the problem actually, like for an instance, I'll give an example of Axie, that initially people could make money. When the saturation comes, the game kind of shrinks down to a fact that where you barely make money, which is the idea of play to earn, is that you earn something. But I think that if your whole user base and the expansion of the game is done in such a way, I think there is a huge scope for play-to-earn, especially play-to-earn games, to take over the whole space. And with the growing rate, I think if we look at the Southeast Asian country, or if you look at specifically any particular MENA, Turkey, or all of these areas where every half a year, 6 months, they generate from these, like PUBG or BGMI, they have skins, seasonal passes, which are like 6 months you can wear a dress, and after 6 months, you have to throw it. And every single basic kid is buying it for like $300, $400 in these regions. And you have more than $500 million worth of revenue generated. But if play-to-earn sort of developers and the companies, they open their mind to it, there is, I don't see why these particular Web2-based mediums are not being used. I was having conversations with the Robo Hero team, the other teams and all that, but it's very difficult to put across someone that this is the scope that you can have in the play-to-earn model. I don't think unless that horizon and the expansion of the play-to-earn model cannot be done, I don't think it's going to be fun for people, because they're too used to the faster renderings, the high-quality renderings, the faster scaling products on Web2 and everything, and which I know that Web3 can do better, but the adaption has to be different. The approach to the market has to be completely different.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. And I think that an interesting times ahead and interesting challenges. And I know it's a cliche to say we're early, but yeah, in terms of games and saturation, we're really early. A lot of older games, a lot of traditional, I'll say Web2 games, game studios and game personalities are still, they still think that NFTs are like taking advantage of people and are a bad thing, or like are burning the planet. You know, and so we have so much education. Now, of course, they could be just incentivized to say things like that in order to keep their current models going as long as possible. I mean, they make tons of money, as you've said. But, you know, there's still a bunch of education and realization to come around in the traditional gaming world about the potential and indeed the inevitability of things like digital collectibles in a gaming context, NFTs, right? And play to earn and other sorts of things, including even community and guild, like DAO related guild things and other changes that will come to gaming as this technology develops. They still have to realize that, to come around or to be convinced of that in a lot of cases. But, you know, there are some studios leading the way, and we're looking forward to both the games that are coming from inside, whether it be from crypto people that buy or hire a professional game studio or product like Star Terror and Star Heroes, or whether it be a game studio that wants to add crypto like Deviants, or whether it be like something that comes out from a AAA publisher that we don't know about yet that has a secret project. Like, we're looking forward to the day when there are fun, sustainable, big play-to-earn games on Terra and adjacent blockchains. I do want to get, however, to the other speakers, 0xHM, and I like your Luna Bowl there over there, 0xHM.
Thank you.
Very nice. Yeah. And Jern, let's take 0xHM first. I believe here's your first, and then we'll take Jern.
Yeah, sure. And yeah, thank you for having me today, everyone. And like, it's really a pleasure to like join the session of like Terabytes finally.
Well, I'm glad you're here, because we hadn't gotten to Edge Protocol yet. It was definitely something we were going to bring up, but so I guess I'll ask you to tell us what you want to tell us about Edge Protocol this week.
Yeah, sure. We just came by to like tell some info about Edge Protocol. So let's start with some introductions no one haven't heard about Edge Protocol yet. We are like money market as a service on Terra ecosystem. We allow protocols communities can create their own lending pool for the sake of like having an additional revenues and having the utilities and stuff. So that's why we start, and we launched it our like very first pool on the Edge marketplace, which is called like Genesis pool. And like right now, like total value supplies of our protocol is around like 36 million. And yeah, we contains a lot of assets and in the first collateral lending market on Terra, which is like Luna X, AUST, UST, Mirror and Anchor, right? And this is like very basic asset on Terra ecosystem. And yeah, just want to be clear that we are not going to be like money market ourselves. We are not going to be like lending pool ourselves. We just like, yeah, we just love to be an infrastructure for people to can come and create their own money market and yeah, can be your own bank and stuff, right? And like our real vision and product is to become the backbone infrastructure in the next generation of money market. At the very first, we gotta start with some things called like protocol owned money markets. Allow like our neighbor protocols to create their own lending market, listing their own tokens, having the bunch of like interesting use cases on top of their tokens and yeah, the asset listing, and then they can customize all those parameters, loan to value, and asset that they're gonna list, and everything. So yeah, this is some intro about Edge Protocol, and yeah, we are right now we have launched our Genesis pool for like 3 weeks, and we got a pretty huge support from Terra communities, and yeah, we really appreciate that. And right now we are currently moving forward to do stuff in POMM protocol mini market phase. Yep.
So if you're a user on Terra Luna or another DeFi platform and you've ever thought, man, I wish there was this money market, or I wish I could use these assets without using this protocol, without using this money market, Edge Protocol is the thing for you, right? It's money market as a service. Markets as a service, I guess is what I'd call it, right? So that's great. Yeah, democratizing money markets. So you can go and start your own money markets. When do you think, right now, of course, the Genesis pool is big news. When do you plan to allow the community to create pools and so on?
Yeah, actually, like it's just like I've said, we're going to start with protocol one money market first. Approach is going to be like with neighbor protocols. Mm-hmm. And I must say, like, a little bit late here, but like, I would say, like, not longer than a month or two, so that POMM will be available for everyone. And I think, we got a few partners that are kind of partnering with us to launch the pool together. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I mean, I've seen your, at some point, I saw your investor list that you published. And, sounds like you have a lot of people interested from a lot of the core protocols on Terra that you've partnered with and are involved with.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for coming on, 0xHM Ohm. I don't know how you want me to say that.
Yeah.
That beautiful. And your Luna Bowl looks like it got outfitted at H&M too.
I mean, thank you.
I want to ask Jern here. Jern Kupataya, if I said that correctly, welcome to the stage. Did you have a specific question?
Hi, guys. We're glad having me today. And yeah, I'm Jern.
Nice you're also Edge. You're also Edge.
Yeah, I'm Edge. And yeah, just want to clarify more on Ohm, like why the money market as a service is important, right? I mean, yeah, right now Terra has, and most of the chains have their own money market, like lending borrowing service, right? But yeah, again, like listing assets in that like money markets need to be really careful, right? Because it's one single cross collateral pool in most money market, right? So listing anyone more assets has to be really careful. They may like, if it's not done carefully, it may like exploit the pool and those stuff. So that's why we create Edge Protocol, because like with Edge Protocol, people can just like have their own pool, right? And all the risk and all the flexibility is contained in that pool. So yeah, that's basically like, the proposition of Edge Protocol. We allow like flexibilities and allows like people and protocol to unlock more use case that cannot be done in just one cross collateral big lending and borrowing pool. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for having us today.
Great. Yeah, thanks for coming on. I know that Edge Protocol will be new to a few listeners, although we have mentioned it and showed it off before. Joseph, I've been monopolizing the air here for a little bit, but as our newest employee and news guru over here, do you have any questions about Edge Protocol? Well, we've got the Edge Protocol team on. If not, what's the next news topic?
I guess as I am a United States user, Is there any future plans to start integrating Edge Protocol into US so that we can use it, or is there a permanent legislation kind of issue there?
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of like just like we are in this for real, right? And so we're not here to like scam with all the people, and we're gonna like in order to like stay as long as we want to go to become a like core backbone infrastructure of future finance, we gotta like get our first step right, which is like our beta launch. And it's kind of like huge regulatory risk here, because like we have no token, no governance yet. So and that's why. So all these kind of problems could be solved by like set up the governance. Once the governance has all set and everything, it could be like, yeah, really everyone can use it in that period of time. It's gonna be like in the future for sure. Mm-hmm. But like for in the meantime, just be brave, guys. I mean, if you know what I'm referring about.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I would never betray the United States government or break the law or anything, but definitely tempted to go venture out and, you know, just cross the border using a VPN or just, you know, whatever. But yeah, no, definitely excited. Thank you for giving me the insight.
Oh, there's some news. I got a KuCoin account frozen. No withdrawals, no trading, no nothing, because I accessed it using a VPN. And I wasn't even in the United States at the time. But, you know, there's sometimes I have auto VPN on for privacy reasons, especially when I'm in a hotel. And you don't want like you don't trust your connection, right? And it's frozen, and I have been unable to get support and unable to get anything. I mean, I don't want to FUD KuCoin here. I'm sure their support is busy.
You broke the law,
apparently,
man.
Now I can't even go. I couldn't even go. No, I didn't. I couldn't even go to support.kucoin.plus from a VPN, and I tried to. Again, I was at a hotel and didn't want to go like naked on the network. And I tried through multiple countries around the world and different services, including Apple's Private Relay. And it wouldn't even load because of VPN. And while I was tipped off to this, initially it was confusing. I was tipped off to this because I went and tried to use the mobile app for it. And the mobile app, the little image that said network problem, had a few like little things drawn on it. And there was you know, your cable's disconnected, one of those logos. And then there was like, you know, you have no cellular bars, one of those logos. And then there was VPN. So whoever, you know, that was the only thing that told me that it was, they were detecting I was using some VPN. And so I couldn't even access the support page to file a ticket. I don't like that. I don't like that at all, because it's not always true that you're using a VPN in order to pretend to be someone you're not. So like you could be using a VPN like to, you know, you could be using a VPN to escape censorship in China, or for example, now Russia. If you're an average citizen, you could be using it because like me, you're at a hotel and you don't want your network to like I've had adverse malware events from a hotel Wi-Fi networks naked before, like without passwords and you just sign on. Right. So, you know, it's a valid concern, and, but you know, now my account's frozen. So, oh, well,
that's actually insane. I did not know that centralized exchanges actually just froze accounts because you connected through a VPN. That's actually insane.
Oh, they're doing more and more. I mean, some exchanges have shut down certain. I mean, obviously, they shut down sanctioned individuals. Some exchanges have, you know, started thinking about shutting down all Russian IPs, IP addresses. Some have said they won't do that. Which, I mean, again, I've lived there. It makes sense because, like, there's a lot of people in Russia who are trying to survive and have nothing to do with what's going on, right? But I've also had it where BlockFi. I've mentioned this before. I sent in Bitcoin to BlockFi because I was using their interest product or whatever, trying it out. And it had gone through a Wasabi CoinJoin thing a couple of steps back. And I got an email saying this Bitcoin's not supported. You know, like if it's a company running a thing, like you've heard the MetaMask news, there's something to talk about too. MetaMask, inaccessible in Venezuela, in Fura, inaccessible in Venezuela. There are some other services providing alternatives. Why? Because these are companies. So they have to abide by sanctions. So eventually the government, some government will come in and pressure a company like MetaMask to shut down its operations, or Infura, I suppose, to shut down functionality in a place like Venezuela, which, yes, I understand that there are evil government officials doing evil things, and that sanctions are meant to stop them in some cases. But there's also like hundreds of millions of innocent poor people in these countries. And so like if your plan for democratizing finance has reliance on a company, just know that at some point that finance is going to be undemocratized, because a company is not like, it's not going to send everyone in the company to jail instead of blocking Venezuela or whatever country at the time. You know what, like if you have a company that you're trusting your Bitcoin or Luna or whatever to, or on-ramping or off-ramping or exchanging, they're not going to go to jail rather than tell the government who you are, for example. And I know that like most of us don't really care about the government knowing who we are. But here's an example of where we do care. Canada was the example last time that we were talking about of when you do care. Like if you were suspected of being a financier of some kind, even a small-time donor to a protest, then your money could just be frozen. Well, I mean, that's the risk you take whenever you use centralized entities. And I think that runs in parallel with what you're saying, Joseph, with the anchor being interest that does not rely on companies like that. Although there's certainly things that governments could try to do to make life more difficult for anchor users. It's not like if you're holding your USDC at BlockFi or some other entity or like in Coinbase or wherever, you're going to hold it and getting interest. And in that case, an order from like, it could be a mistake. You know, you could have somebody call it, somebody vengeful call in and say something about you. Right. And, or it could just be a system mistake, or you could randomly access it accidentally using a VPN, like what happened to me on my KuCoin account. And anyone can come in, be it the company or some jurisdiction authority or a hacker or whatever, and freeze your assets or your account. So it's better, a better option, all things being equal, to be earning in Anchor, for example, than to be earning on like Coinbase or BlockFi or whatever your interest, centralized interest server of choice is. Of course, on the flip side, there's no helpline. There's no, you kiss no one. I mean, you can reach out to the community, but there's no one to call to say, I sent my money to the wrong place. Can you send it back? Centralized services can help you out with those kind of problems. Like, hey, I forgot my password. But you know, if you're using your money on Anchor, then you're taking those responsibilities and risks on yourself. You're also getting the right to have this money, this democratized, uncensorable money in savings. Anyway, oh, there's another monologue, huh? Didn't even intend to do that. But I look forward to the day where some of these technologies are so developed and so pervasive that things can be more democratizable than they are today. And people in countries that are oppressing them, regimes that are oppressing them, or regimes that have, you know, like gone to war or something, but they're just normal people and they want to feed their children or get out of the country or something. Maybe they're entirely opposed to what's going on. That they have options. And I know that Bitcoin has been extremely helpful in this time in Ukraine, where I've wanted to send people money and I can't send them money. Or like for hryvnia, the Ukrainian currency, like we don't have exactly confidence that the banks will be open and dishing it out. And we don't have confidence that the currency itself will be stable, right? being able to send some Bitcoin to people and saying, hold on to this in case you like literally need to bribe a Russian not to kill you at some point, is like a tool that the average person has never had before. And I mean, I guess we kind of had it with gold, but gold was awkward and who wants gold, right?
But yeah, you can't airdrop gold.
Yeah, and I couldn't send my friend in Ukraine gold, right? and you know, gold can be more easily stolen and things like that, less easily carried. So like, these are tools that are helping, just helping like millions and millions and hundreds of millions and billions of average people around the world eventually have options that they never had before when there is something crazy going on in their area, whether that's something personal for them, like some false accusation or like a regulatory mistake or like bad regulation, or whether it's something mass scale, like a war or something going on, and they're having trouble crossing a border or getting supplies or something. We suddenly have tools to send value and to help people and to empower people and to help people be safer and have a better chance of a better outcome, even though they're just like, you know, average guy, average girl in the middle of nowhere. I think that we need to keep that in mind, that we should be careful of building a future where there are these centralized powerhouses that can control everything, because you'll end up with something like this, where suddenly all your savings are frozen and it's not even your fault at all.
I really agree with you, and like, yeah, that's why we need these UST as like our like decentralized money at the first place, and I think that's the reason why we are all here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, in terms of like the DeFi developments and decentralized development in general, I think we came too far from like we came so far from the point where the big Bitcoin is emerging in 2008 or 2009 after the financial crisis. People nowadays have the more options than they ever have. But like, what we are really into this now, what we are doing here now, right now, for all of us now, is to building like more options, more like inclusiveness to all people, which is like our mission also. And I think the problems in the financial system these days is all about like the capitalism in general is all about like the asymmetric inclusions into the financial tools and stuff. And just like Pete said, I mean, DeFi is the way out, and yeah, the way to for people to get the access to those kind of tools and live their life more easily, and yeah, increase the chance to for them to being more like a financial literacy, right? And yeah, I think we are on the way anyways, but like, yeah, we gotta be careful in terms of building the future as well.
Hey Joseph, thanks. 100% agree. Let's hit us with another news piece and try to make it one that I can't talk for 20 minutes on.
Alrighty. Well, let's go on to Prism Protocol. Prism Protocol has got their farming event upcoming this Monday. If you guys are looking into all of the refraction abilities, well, get ready. You can now start farming on Prism. And for the past week, everyone has just been going through the whole amp phase, where you can start collecting amps so you can enhance your Y yield on your Y Luna. So this coming week, we're going to be watching the new farm open up, and I'm pretty excited for Prism to unveil their farming event, because I mean, when we saw Stator open up and when we saw a whole bunch of other protocols open up, they have brought in massive amounts of liquidity, and especially early on to farms and early on in protocol developments, especially with something as innovative and as future oriented as Prism. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of action there. And yeah, super excited for that. And super excited to see how much Luna gets validated over at Prism.
Yeah, love Prism. Now, I know that Hashed agreed to, or like Hashed dedicated nine figures towards like Prism liquidity. Now, it was unclear what that meant, right? It was unclear how that was going to be divvied up. Maybe they themselves hadn't determined that yet. Do you know any more about that? Is that just going to mean that this is going to be the most like liquid farming event ever, or is there some kind of special deployment around that?
I genuinely do not know anything about that. I knew that Hash was throwing their hat into the ring for funding, but I had no idea that it wasn't predetermined amounts. I bet there's a Prism, someone in the audience,
yeah, right,
that should have some alpha if they want to offer it up, request to speak.
Maybe Ryan or Jimmy can enlighten us here. I've invited them to speak and they have not. They have not accepted.
Unfortunately.
Maybe they're not allowed to.
Yeah.
This time. By the way, Ryan is a fire follow if you haven't followed him on Twitter yet. Not that Jimmy isn't. Jimmy's also a fire follow. both of them on Twitter. You should follow them both, by the way. Or Jimmy over at GT Capital, Goblin Town Capital, and Prison Protocol. And of course, Ryan also there, and also Prison Protocol. And Ryan, you've got some like fire tweets recently, tweet threads going on. And every video we push, like the closing, hey, Luna ecosystem's doing great. Here's a reason you should be excited about it. Like there's always a tweet that you have out that day that is perfect for that screen. So thank you.
So LeJimmy is not going to be coming up to talk to us, but he is giving me some alpha over my DMs. So appreciate you, LeJimmy. Everyone gonna go give him a follow. But he has confirmed that there is 500,000 Luna that just got refracted from Hashed a day ago. And he's considered it might be added as liquidity and it might not be added as liquidity, on Monday when the farming event happens. So, that's a massive amount of Luna to go out of circulation instantaneously. Not financial advice, but would heavily consider going look over at what's going on in Prison Protocol. Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Yo, Pete, you butted me up. I couldn't not come up and speak. Thank you for your kind words, sir.
Yeah, thank you for your fiery words every week. Yeah, thanks for coming on.
What was the question?
It was about Hashed's like liquidity commitment, and I think that Joe just answered it for us.
Yeah,
like
so
the nine figures. Yeah, 500K Luna was recently refracted.
So yeah, I mean, we can't say too much about it. Being on the team, the all we can say is what Hash said publicly, which was it was not it was nine figures of TVL. Which is what they said that they would commit. So I can't go into any more detail.
Oh, TVL. That. Okay. So it wasn't specifically liquidity, but TVL. Got it.
Yeah. I mean, we hear the community saying around the liquidity, and obviously it's been quite difficult because we got six pools to seed, and we've got more pools to seed going forward as well. But we do intend on ramping up some liquidity over the coming weeks. You know, we're still sort of in soft launch at the minute, all right? And you know, phase four of the launch is the farm, which is coming up on Monday, and then there's a couple of other protocol features that we want to ship before I'd say we're kind of in full go mode, which are trading charts. Which hoping to come next week, and then the limit order functionality, which is probably a couple of weeks out from here.
Trading charts and limit order. All right. Sounds great. Yeah, love Prism. Love what you guys have done so far. And we'll hope to have a full show on you soon once the next big release is out and you actually have some time to come on a show. But in the meantime, any other questions in the audience or from you, Joseph, for Prism before we hit the next topic?
Yeah, a little bit more of a contentious issue here. Ryan, I don't know what your side of the fence is. Is it Y Prism or is it P Luna or Y Luna? Which one's better?
I've been trying to support the P Luna bulls because, you know, I feel like they've had a hard time of things since we launched. But personally, I'm just holding equal parts and farming my Wine Luna and holding my P Luna. So that way I can always take the Luna that I deposit into the protocol out in full.
Well, that was a less juicier remark. I was hoping that you were just going to come out and just completely destroy the Wailuna people or something. But I guess we'll take the very sound and logical approach that you've taken. So yeah, I'm looking forward to your guys' farming event. Usually farming events in Terra are pretty great opportunities to kind of get your feet wet with all the protocols that are going on. And most of the environments that I've participated in have been pretty good and smooth experiences.
places. So I'm excited to see what happens and where that 500,000 Luna goes. That is a massive amount of Luna to just disappear out of the supply. So I want to see where that goes specifically.
Cool. Good to speak to you guys. Love what you do. I'll catch you soon.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Thanks for coming on, Ryan. I'm going to have to go check out which validator got graced with that 500K Luna. If you don't, unless this has changed, the way it works is that of the Prism validators, whoever has the least staked to them, the least Prism, like Luna refracted with them, gets the next one. So in this case, whoever had the least, whichever validator was the lowest, got a sudden 500K injection. Right.
Well, okay. whoever brought that Luna onto the protocol, they split it equally into six parts and okay. Help the six validators that are trailing behind Terabytes catch up a little bit.
Oh, that's awesome! All right, I knew it would catch up. So that's fantastic.
Thanks. Only a matter of time before we pull away again.
No. No, we're already ahead. Yeah, no, you're right. If it's a balancing system, so as you come in and refract Luna, it goes to the validator that has the least. Great. Well, I think that that is bringing us close to time here, Joseph. But do you have anything else? You put together that weekly roundup, ladies and gentlemen. If you want a weekly roundup that covers all the Terra Luna news, apparently except games. But we'll work on that.
No problem.
Joseph Casa Intern at Terra Weekly Roundup is your follow. I think it's Friday evenings. Do you have like a target time you release it? Or is it just Friday evenings you put it out?
It depends on how bad I procrastinated that week and also how many news drops happened that week. But typically I release them around 8 or 9 p.m. Central Time. I release a thread compiling all the biggest news, all the latest developments. I'm covering sometimes even when Doquan is slapping some people around in his chats. So be sure to give me a follow. I'm covering basically everything. I'm trying to expose myself a little bit more to the NFT ecosystem, so I definitely need to start learning more about what's going on in that front. But yeah, so I compile a thread and I compile a video where I run through and give a little bit of more of an analysis on the developments. So if you want an easy to read thread and you just want to click through them, check out my profile. Or if you want to hear it or watch a video where I'm discussing it a little bit more in depth, please go to the link in my bio and you guys could check out the video.
Yeah, there were some things we didn't hit today. We didn't hit the TIX money proposal, $3 million proposal pushed to Agora community and particularly Doe, but community said and they pulled it and are seeking other ways of funding. Now this has happened before with other things, and it's not a surprise. It doesn't mean everyone hates TIX, but a $3 million initial proposal was pretty big. Pretty big proposal, right? So people a little less certain about that. And other great things, you can go to Joseph's thread or check out his video. We try not to overlap everything. Spaces is for a little bit more deep discussion on choice things. And then on Monday, we also have a stream news video where we talk about other news and we try not to overlap discussion again. But if you missed this Spaces, if you're just coming in, it is recorded. The recording's available. And we talked about Ukraine situation. Go and check out Angel Protocol's Ukraine initiative. 50% of that will go straight to relief funds and then 50% to endowments. That also, the yield of that goes to relief funds. So 100% to relief funds, but 50% unlocked initially since the crisis there is so immediate. And we talked about the implications of all these sanctions and censoring and so on. And we talked about a bunch of things. We had Ryan Lyon on, Edge Protocol on. We had somebody, Michael from Star Terra and Star Heroes, the new game on, dropping by. Check that out. Our friend at Terra Spaces will publish that as well to podcast form. So thank you all for joining, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Terra Luna News. Ryan Lyon's on, Prism, X-Prism, AMP, farming events, all that good stuff. Hosted by Terabytes, recorded on Saturday, March 5th, 2022. This episode of the Ether was brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of the Ether was also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Have you heard about the new Terra Invest Strategy Discord server Orbital Command spun up? If you're looking for a chill place to chat about different Luna stacking strategies, or looking for some alpha, or if you're trying to find the best UST farms, or even if you just have a quick question you need answered, be sure to stop by TIS and say hi to the Orbital Command gang. Hell, I'm even in there sometimes when I'm not editing hours of CeFi spaces. You can find me in that server chatting about NFTs and answering basic Terra Luna questions. The link to the server is in the show notes, and for more information, check out orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. When I'm cruising, I'm rushing, no booze on my tongue. When I'm losing my cool like a bruiser in London, the rules are confusing, so let loose the juices and try not to act like they tightened up the noose. These fools are abused like a problem stepchild, ruling the coupe with some modest exile. I'm lost in the cube with the softest textiles, a comfy padded room where I'm walking my best smiles. So wipe the smirk off your face when you're serving. I'm up with a platter of bait behind the curtain. Uplift the curse, it's absurd to swerve it, letting these nerds know the weight was worth it. I'll perk it up while I stir in some bullshit. This ain't my first rodeo surrounded by humans. Opinionated merchants trying to steal your worth. It's getting on my nerves, so let's make them feel nervous. I go tit for tat when I'm spitting this rap shit. Getting sick with it like I'm kissing bats. It's spreading sickness like a fucking pandemic. Gun to my head like write the damn epic. My mood is exhumed from the darkest mistakes. Sitting down in hell cooking up these mixtapes. Living through nightmares and dreamscapes. It takes more patience than a hospital police state. So lock it down, locked and loaded like they come for your guns. Fuck no, we won't be getting onto that bus. Quietly sit back and watch the riot beat while the cops get filmed pirating all your privacy. Sign on the dotted line and wave your rights and wave goodbye and pay no mind. You gotta wash the brain and erase the time. Now shut the fuck up while we wait in line. Terra Spaces.